I want to continue my discussion of principal-agent problems with a discussion of how they're affected by what I call franchise value. So in economics, we generally think that competition is a good thing, that you know, the more competition, the better, the more efficient things are. But I believe in the presence of principal-agent problems, you can't be sure of that. So let's say you're the taxpayers, and you have some financial institutions which in some sense act as your agent. So these could be banks or the GSEs. And these institutions receive some special government privilege, such as deposit insurance, or the government, or the, whatever the government backing is for the GSEs. So they receive some government privileges in exchange for which they're supposed to deliver something in the public interest. And one of my points is that one of the things that the taxpayers want is for these institutions not to take extraordinary risks, because if they take extraordinary risks, then the taxpayers will end up paying out to support the deposit insurance fund, or they'll have to pay out to support the GSEs or what have you. And one of the things that can reduce risk taking is franchise value. That is, if a company is not in a very competitive industry and is making regular profits, then it's motivated to stay in business because of those regular profits, and it's motivated not to do any or to tend to not do anything to endanger its franchise value. And I see this relationship between franchise value and principal agent problems throughout the industry. When I talk about mortgage brokers and people who are originating loans being hyper-competitive, one of the aspects of that is that they have close to zero franchise value. And what that does is, first of all, it attracts risk takers and ruthless competitors. Okay, you don't work for the type of person who goes to work for a mortgage broker is not the same as the type of person, or certainly the type of person who becomes a mortgage broker, is not the same type of person as somebody who takes a government job, you know, something nice and safe. They're in a hyper-competitive industry, and so it tends to weed out people who are cautious and with a lot of ethical concerns about what they're doing and why they're doing it. Those people, nothing personal against people who get into that, but that's what's going to happen. And beyond that, since their franchise value is close to zero, if they don't have that much to lose if other people stop dealing with them. So if other people stop dealing with a mortgage broker, they were making close to zero profits to begin with. That's not such a it's not such a big loss. Contrast that with something like the credit repositories, where there are only three of them. They get involved in all sorts of credit transactions, all sorts of searches, and they're relatively profitable. Firms with very high barriers to entry. It's hard to become a credit repository. It's hard to assemble all that data. For all sorts of reasons, there's essentially no entry into that industry anymore. So they have an incentive to be very careful, to maintain their reputation, and so on. When we had a duopoly of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, then again, there's an incentive, because there are only two of them and they were making a lot of money, to sort of maintain reputation. And have capital and loan loss reserves. And actually, one of the mysteries to me is why these companies actually sacrificed their franchise value in the 2000s. I think part of the answer has to be that the top executives of these companies at that point in time did not really know what they were doing. Because had they thought about what they were doing and realized that they were endangering valuable franchises, I'm not sure they would have done it. I don't think it was necessarily in their interest to do it. But I want to make the point that sometimes people talk about reviving the concept of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, but having many players. I've seen a suggestion to have, 10 companies serve a mortgage insurance function reinsured by the government. That is, so the mortgage insurance companies, these mini Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae's, would have the primary insurance risk. But maybe if there was an extreme event, they would be reinsured by the taxpayers. Well, be careful what you wish for there. If there are 10 of them, then the franchise value will probably be close to zero. And if the franchise value is close to zero, it will naturally evolve that the people running these companies will run them as close to the edge of bankruptcy as they're allowed to by the regulators. They will have no internal incentive to maintain capital or sufficient loss reserves because they've got a franchise value that's approaching zero to begin with. All the incentive will be to maximize return without any consideration for risk or bankruptcy costs. In some sense, the internal bankruptcy cost approaches zero. And by that, I mean the bankruptcy cost as perceived by the owners of and the managers of the company approaches zero. And so the incentive to have capital and loss reserves goes away. And it becomes just a test of wills between the regulators and and these hypothetical insurance companies as to whether they will hold capital or loss reserves or whether they will hold enough. So it makes the principle, sometimes not having franchise value makes the principal agent problem more difficult. It means that you have to regulate harder. So if Freddie Mac, for example, were to try to buy loans directly from mortgage brokers, because mortgage brokers have less franchise value than mortgage bankers, Freddie Mac would have a much tougher principal agent problem to deal with. And So if you make any part of the industry more competitive, be careful that other parts of the industry, including the regulators and taxpayers, may have a tougher principal agent problem to deal with. Just as a matter of history, the banks and savings and loans had much more valuable franchises in the 1960s. So the banks and savings and loans had franchise value because there were interstate banking restrictions, and the states had branching restrictions, so that limited competition. They also had interest rate controls. Remember that there were limits on the amount that you could pay depositors. Those were called the Regulation Q ceilings on interest rates. So they had a much more stable profit base, less competition, and consequently more franchise value, and consequently had to be regulated, could be regulated without as much care and rigor, and you could still count on them to remain safe. Then in the 70s, that eroded. You had competition from money market funds. You had what was called disintermediation, which is kind of the same, of which money market funds are an example. Disintermediation, hard to spell in public. Disintermediation, meaning that someone else got to the consumer to get their funds and then had those funds at their disposal to lend. And so as that happened, the competition, and also the competition, the barriers to entry or barriers to state competition eroded. So it was easier to cross into another state and do banking. And so all those things had resulted in this stable profit base went down, and so the franchise value went down. And when the franchise value went down, it was not long after that that problems began to occur in the banking and savings and loan industry, and ultimately there was a crisis and big losses in the savings and loan industry. So the moral of the story is, when it comes in a world where there are principal agent problems, be careful about wishing for too much competition, because competition erodes franchise value, and that makes the problem of the principal agent problem depend more on direct regulation and auditing and evaluating the agent directly, rather than counting on the agent's self-interest to maintain their franchise value. Actually, let me finish with one other case, which is the credit reporting agencies. Not these are not the credit repositories, but the credit reporting agencies like Moody's, Standard and Poor's, and so on. So they would seem to have a lot of franchise value. The government has kind of given them an oligopoly in this credit reporting, and you know, securities, a lot of securities have to be rated. So they seem to have a lot of franchise value, and I think a lot of people were shocked as a result that they did such a poor job of rating mortgage securities. And we'll have to delve into that later, because that is clearly an instance where franchise value was not sufficient to guarantee that they would perform the way you would want them to perform.